Across Alaska, 15 remote radars spend 15 hours a day, 365 days a year. Since the Cold War, they've monitored the airspace above Alaska and across much of the Arctic. Even with decades of technological advances, the radars are still military's primary way to monitor airspace over much of the continent. But now, Alaska Public Media's Zach Hughes reports, their core mission is threatened by climate change.
It takes hours to get to the military's radar station at Tin City, starting with a flight from Anchorage's Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in a small Air Force plane. 630 miles, and the pilot warns, no bathrooms.
Our flight time today is just a couple hours, so hopefully everyone would be good there.
In the early years of the 20th century, Tin City hosted a small mining town. But since the 1950s, it's been the site of a long-range radar. It used to take well over 100 airmen to manage these sites. Over time, though, automation and improved technology have whittled down the number of personnel to just 4 private contractors. After the flight, we take a quick drive to the building where the technicians eat, sleep, and give the occasional visitors safety briefings.
Okay, none of you got weapons, correct? No weapons. Don't have to worry about that.
Running these installations has never been easy, but now it's getting even harder as coastal erosion nibbles away the land around vital infrastructure supporting some of the radar sites. Colonel Daniel Lemon is the Air Force commander in charge of remote radars stretching from the Pacific to the high Arctic.
Yeah, I'm a military officer, so, you know, global warming, I don't know.
For almost a decade, the Defense Department has acknowledged that a rapidly warming climate poses a threat to the military's installations and operations around the globe, and they've initiated plans to cope with it.
Climate change is happening, and there is erosion going on the north slope of Alaska, all right? That's a fact. We know that's a fact. I don't know what's causing it, but we have to do something about it, right? It is impacting our mission.
So far, 3 radar stations, all of them in the North Slope, are grappling with climate-driven threats to infrastructure. The installation at Tin City is not immediately imperiled by the same issue. Although in mid-November, during our visit, the Bering Strait, just west of the site, was completely free of sea ice.
You're not going up to top camp without some kind of Arctic gear. Other than that, welcome to Tin City.
Jeff Bowles, mustachioed Montanan with graying hair, gets ready to take us from down here at the lower campsite up a steep mountainside to see the radar itself. What comes next is a half-hour trip up snowy switchbacks that look like they're about to drop away at every turn. Workers used to make this heroic ascent via a long tram ride, but now the technicians use a treaded vehicle called a piston bully. It looks like a cross between a bulldozer and a tank.
This is, we go in that?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, you guys,
yeah.
Load's on the other side.
During the Cold War, sites like this were precautionary monitoring stations that could detect Soviet bombers. Tin City is particularly close to Russia, with Big and Little Diomede Islands in plain view, the international dateline running invisibly between the two. Clouds block out the Russian mainland, and the radar building is covered with ice.
All the metal out here has, it looks like Hoth in Star Wars. There's just snow crystals and totally wind-strafed buildup on everything.
Inside of the radar building, most of the equipment is classified, and it looks like the kind of metal filing cabinets under fluorescent lighting that you'd find in any accountant's basement. Although Bowles is the one showing us around, he's not in charge of the radar equipment itself. Instead, he maintains all the site's facilities.
Well, what I tell people, that's everything from the toilet to the runway and everything in between.
Everything at Tin City, the runway for the plane to the cafeteria that keeps Bowles fed, it all exists so that this machine can keep spinning. The long-range radars are basically eyeballs, monitoring the skies over the Bering Sea and Arctic Ocean for whatever flies through, be it a military craft or rogue commercial planes.
If you can hear, that's the radar rotating right now.
The signals picked up by radars like this feed information back to installations at JBEAR and NORAD's headquarters in Colorado. For the military, maintaining sovereignty over U.S. airspace means being able to know what's moving through it, even at the remote fringes of the continent. A 2014 government report found that the installations are seeing erosion that the Pentagon didn't expect until the year 2040. And the military is already spending big to slow down impacts from a warming Arctic. Colonel Lemon says that at Cape Lisburn, near Point Hope, waves from the encroaching Chukchi Sea were washing over the airstrip.
So we have a $47 million seawall project. They're actually building a seawall to protect that runway.
Tens of millions of dollars to protect one runway at one site. That's on top of the $250 million the Defense Department's already budgeted for maintenance and improvement projects. And it's only the start. Lisburn is low-hanging fruit, a runway right next to the ocean with a quarry nearby to gather rocks for the seawall. Some northern sites will need boulders barged in. Others will have to figure out how to deal with thawing permafrost. And while the military acknowledges the problem, there's no long-term strategy beyond keeping the radars spinning. In Tin City, I'm Zachariah Hughes,